Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, obviously, what we need more of in South Africa is power, but also the power of people willing to roll up their sleeves and find solutions to the country's challenges. I'm growing tired of the constant chatter during social gatherings about how much is going wrong, and pointing out the obvious certainly isn't going to go about changing anything. And that's why this next story is so exciting. It's called Sisi Benza. And the partners in Sisi Benza all have long and very storied track records of bringing business success and social good to the South African economy. My first guest is Benong Mahali, an industrialist very well known for his patriotism, best-selling author with Lift As We Rise and head of business leadership South Africa. Benong, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
But in studio, we have colleagues of yours that I believe you've known each other for several years, but I'll let you explain the story. First up, Mark Lubner, very well-known philanthropist and social entrepreneur, winner of the Conscious Company Award a couple of years ago in the NGO space. Mark, good to see you again.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
And Andrew Robinson, also a serial entrepreneur with a track record of spotting opportunities, most recently with Kit Group. Andrew, good to meet you.
Thanks very much.
And next to you, Gary Wolf, an international property developer and an investor responsible for changing quite a few skylines in South African cities. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Benong, kick us off here, because in your book, Lift As I Rise, you spoke about the fact that the higher up the leadership ladder that you go, the more you need to surround yourself with people who are going to challenge you, to get out of the echo chamber, so to speak. And really, the Sisi Benza project speaks to that, lifting people up as you rise. What is this idea of Sisi Benza, and how does it relate to your personal leadership journey?
So maybe starting with a book, because I have the opportunity to sell a few books. You know, when you rise, you can lift the world, because nature is an amazing metaphor for business. In fact, everything that nature does, it does for others. It does nothing for itself. That is why rivers don't drink their own water, and trees don't eat their own fruit. The sun does not shine because it needs the warmth, and the flowers give off fragrances, not because they want to smell better, but all for others. Therefore, the more we rise, the more it behooves us, and manifestly in our interest, that we need to lift as we rise, to surround ourselves with people that don't look like us, talk like us, that don't smoke the same brand of cigarette as us. Therefore, this launch of this social disruptor, Sisi Benza, in a continuous sense, it's exactly about that, that South Africa is going to do well by producing goods and services that the world needs, by providing services that are disruptive, rather than just by being one of the 17 million people that are on social security. Thank you.
And that whole metaphor of providing, not for the sake of your own consumption, but, Mark, so that others can consume, really feeds into your first project here. And it's not about going and disrupting the market by reinventing the wheel. You've taken a very conscious decision to take so-called unicorns, those tech startups who've grown to turnover of $1 billion+, and even the Minotaurs who've managed to raise $1 billion+ in funding. And you're saying, well, come and operate in the South African market. And you've done first your first deal, or your first project, around WeWork. How does it work?
We took a view that said the formal economy is not growing. And we know that we've got a crisis on our hands in terms of youth unemployment. We have a peculiar situation. It's quite ironic that you've got youth in the townships particularly who are desperately seeking employment. So it would be kind of silly to kind of keep knocking on the same challenges, expecting a different outcome. We can't keep looking to the formal sector of employment to resolve the unemployment crisis. We've got to obviously grow the economy. One of the ways to grow the economy is bring foreign investors into the country who can look beyond the negative rhetoric that's taking place and see the real opportunities that are necessarily here. We've got a growing population. That population is a huge consumer base. We've got natural resources, and there's so many benefits that we've got. But most importantly, what doesn't appear in any balance sheet is a spirit of entrepreneurship within this country that I think needs to be kindled. So if we can facilitate through Sisi Benza large organizations who have the ability to bring not only technology, but also to bring a different way to approach markets. From a social impact perspective, we believe that we can impact quite materially on this issue of youth unemployment. The WeWork model is one in particular, where WeWork, as an organization, started some 7-8 years ago, has grown to the point where it's now a $40 billion valued business, employing some 400,000 members, attracting 400,000 odd members. That power of that network is invaluable, particularly if you're a small startup business coming out of the township. How do you network into your business opportunities? How do you network into a market or service provider base? WeWork necessarily provides that through offering this shared service space environment. But the shared service space is not just a flexi office space environment. The magic of WeWork is effectively the power of the network and the services that a WeWork offer proactively to make certain that their members transact with one another. Over 60% of WeWork members do business with one another. Imagine bringing that into the South African marketplace, enabling startup businesses to kickstart their opportunities.
It's a wonderful concept in a market where historically, if you look at entrepreneurs in the townships, for example, they don't have those networks of family, friends and fools very often to call on. So if you can help bridge that particular part of the puzzle, slot that into the broader piece, then you really are making a big impact. But what do you need to make this happen, though?
Well, very important, if I may, just what shouldn't be ignored is the opportunity for the formal sector, large corporate enterprises, to in fact engage equally with startup business opportunities and with the millennial marketplace. So it's this melting pot of members that necessarily operating in a working environment, and Gary is probably the right fellow to talk about the nature of that environment and how that whole WeWork model necessarily is structured. And Andrew can talk very much to the benefits to the enterprises that they get by coming into such an environment.
Sure, and Gary, there was a very interesting article in the Harvard Business Review on why companies are even creating their own co-working spaces at the moment. It's beyond just being trendy and part of the hip thing to do. There are real benefits to this co-working trend. What are some of those driving forces that you're seeing in the marketplace?
Some of the main forces that we're seeing are just the ease of doing business in a place like a WeWork building. For members to go into those buildings, all they have to do is come in, sign a membership agreement, and take a desk. So, in a positive, bright, well lit, vibrant environment, and that's the first barrier that people kind of have when they want to move into an office space. If that makes sense.
Yeah, well, signing up, I mean, firstly, long-term leases and, all of those commitments.
Oh, those barriers are gone.
The infrastructure, the overheads, all of that almost disappears. It's almost as if we're introducing a cloud-based approach to your IT infrastructure, but only for the back office services that you need in an office.
100%. You can focus on what you do best. And that's why many big corporates, and that's what sets WeWork apart from many other businesses, many big corporates are moving into WeWork space. There's no longer the need to worry about, fixing a light bulb or paying an electricity bill. It's all included in a membership. It makes the ease of doing business and being in property so much easier.
And this at a time when I was chatting to Norbert Sasser of GrowthPoint last week, we do see a big glut of office space out there. Mm-hmm. So it is a time where the power is being transferred back into the hand of the tenant, so to speak. Andrew, mm-hmm. What do you see as the benefits? And I know you're eternally optimistic about Africa. And let's face it, a lot of people struggle to be optimistic right now. The stage 4 load shedding again tonight. And I'm probably going to get castigated for saying, well, there's an opportunity there. Why aren't entrepreneurs out there selling boxes of load shedding kits or doing something? But that really is the South African spirit at the end of the day.
Absolutely. I mean, this team is very entrepreneurial and we see a massive gap in the South African market at the moment. What's interesting is, we're going through you call it a recessionary period. An international company looking at South Africa at the moment are saying, let's wait and see what happens after the May election. We don't want to take a big position within the country. I mean, what the WeWork space is doing is saying, you, Mr. Multinational Corporation, here's an easy entry for you into the South African market or into the Nigerian or Kenyan market in time. And It's a month or 12-month commitment. As Gary was saying, you can bring 10 people in, 100 people in, 1,000 people in. It's a short-term commitment, and you're in the country, and you're operating tomorrow.
And I'm going to make a quick point, which is really, really important. Forgive me interrupting. And it's so often overlooked. Flexi-leases are not uncommon. What differentiates, I think, the WeWork flexi-lease opportunity is the power of the network and the very proactive stance that a WeWork takes to making certain that the businesses that are in that environment necessarily succeed through that network.
So, for example, how does it do that? Does it do business matchmaking? Does it ensure that you've got the right businesses next to each other, a fintech next to a telecom business next to... How does it do that?
I think, you know, really what WeWork is the property is it's the window, but it's a technology business at the end of the day. You know, Mark talks about a 40-odd billion-dollar valuation. It's valued because it's a technology company. So the technology in WeWork is out of this world, and it's connecting a community together. So it's almost a Facebook-type application that's sitting on top of a property.
Yeah, physical social network.
It's a physical social network.
And in terms of the property that then underpins this, what's the model, Gary?
So in South Africa, it's WeWork have been growing incredibly quickly worldwide. One of the big... And as a result, they have to kind of try and be asset light, if that makes sense, to grow business that quickly. So the model that they're looking at here in South Africa is essentially a revenue share model, where the landlord gets the benefit from some of the business and some of the upside in having WeWork coming into their spaces. It's a difficult model, and it's new for South Africa. It's kind of like a almost office hospitality type model or a hotel. Type revenue model that the landlords have to get their heads around.
And where are you looking to pilot the first WeWork office space in South Africa?
So WeWork have been looking for the best buildings and the best locations. The first building that's opening in Q3 this year will be in Rosebank at The Link. It's a redefined building that we've managed to secure together with Mark Lane.
Andrew?
And growing exponentially. I mean, currently WeWork over the last 8 years are now the largest tenant in New York. They're the largest tenant in London. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. Within the next 3 to 5 years, WeWork will be the largest tenant in Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban.
Phenomenal for a company that I'm sure if you ask people who are in the top five disruptors in the world, they'd say Uber, they'd say Airbnb. They wouldn't say WeWork, and it's a new concept, yeah, perhaps to the South African market.
So. Well, that's exactly it. It's a new concept. I think the stats are that WeWork is
is the fourth at the moment, and Uber is probably number two, and Airbnb is number five. So it's actually valued at bigger than Airbnb. But what I really love about the model is the ecosystem that it creates. When it started, it was about entrepreneurs, small and medium enterprises that are coming in, a hot desk. But the 60% of the people that end up doing business with each other and one another has now gone up to big companies like Unilever, Coca-Cola, that are looking at 30,000 square meters. Instead of putting that on their balance sheet, they are now saying, I don't have to sign a 10-year lease and have to worry about fitting. I can come in a hotel-like service and come and be part of this energy, this enthusiasm that is really taking off. A family of 100,000 members, 40 countries, 85 cities, and almost doubling every second year. So you can see why it's a unicorn.
And very often, Mark, when I interview CEOs about African entry and how do you de-risk African entry, it's about local partnerships and how do you build that. Here's a platform, a physical and a technological platform that allows one to almost de-risk African entry. What's the growth strategy into Africa from here?
Well, first of all, WeWork's South African expansion plans that they've shared with us are 150,000 square meters that they're looking to occupy over a two-year time period. Simultaneously, they've spoken to us about desire to grow elsewhere into Africa on a city-by-city basis rather than a country-by-country basis.
Yeah.
And again, what that would necessarily mean is that if you move away from geographical limitations and start thinking about this as a networking play, you're now going to have effectively a group of African operators who are necessarily going to link with one another for purposes of transacting between one another. You've got to almost go into a WeWork environment to truly experience what WeWork, the dynamic and the energy that Bunang referred to truly appreciate and understand the difference. There's a work ethic in that environment. There's a support ethic. And I think what we've seen globally is membership groups that hang together well necessarily provide huge benefits that don't often appear necessarily on any income statement or balance sheet.
And the business case for Africa is actually quite compelling because Africa has almost the same population as China, 1.4 billion, but China, it's one market. India, 1.3 billion, it's one market, maybe two relations. Africa, you have to partner with local partners because it's 1.3 billion people, 54 countries, they speak 2,000 languages, it's 30.3 million square kilometers of coastline, and with a continental GDP of $6 trillion. You cannot ignore it.
And you can't not be excited about that. It sounds like there's an outside broadcast idea coming up from a WeWork space, Mark, sometime in the future, so I can come and really experience and feel that energy. Just in conclusion, a very exciting time, and it's time to be optimistic around property when, let's face it, on the retail side, things are not looking that great.
Yeah, look, I mean, quite openly, we saw this glut of brand new first class first world buildings that had been built by many of the large REITs and property groups, and we said, how are they going to be occupied? Who's necessarily going to occupy that space in an economy that's barely growing? So our sense was that really what's simply going to happen is going to chase tenancies from one building to the next rather than to create new opportunities. But if you bring a WeWork to those buildings, A, you give opportunities to, let's call them smaller operators that might not typically be able to access this type of space. B, you bring in international operators, as we've talked about, on a relatively risk-free basis, and you create a marketplace. More importantly, I think you create a movement, and that movement, proactively managed as WeWork does, necessarily has the opportunity to become a continental play. Sissy Benza.
Mark, I've got to stop you there because we have run out of time, but I'm sure Sissy Benza has a few more unicorns that are in your crosshairs that you're hunting. So it's always nice to leave a bit of powder dry. We'll have to have you back on the show and talk about what else is in the Sissy Benza pipeline. Mark Lubner, thank you very much. Bunang Mahale, Andrew Robinson, and Gary Wolf, to you all. Very interesting, very exciting. Thanks for tuning in to the show tonight. Remember, you can follow us at Classic 1027. Dynamite comes in Sylvia A size packages. She's up next for our Cape Town listeners. And in Gauteng, Carolyn Staines, Classic Wind Down. Good night.